Father, in Jesus' name, as we look into your word now, in our time together, these short minutes, hour and a half on a Sunday morning, as we say, well, we're doing church, that God, that something of heaven and what is eternal from your presence would so touch our lives today, God, that we're feeling that much more strengthened and equipped to live the life that you've called us to in Jesus. Father, help us now. Bless your word to our hearts and glorify your name. Amen. Okay, so this morning I want to speak to us beginning from Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and I'd like to begin by reading it from the Message version of the Bible. Some of you are using that version of the Bible, the Message, Eugene Peterson's Message, which has been out for a long time, and some of you are just catching on to that. I really like the way that he puts things in modern language for us, and I'd like to read my starting text this morning from Ephesians chapter 5, all right? You're all there? He says, watch what God does, and then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. All the proper behavior, you see, with my kids, right here, they got it from me. Everything bad? He says, mostly, now watch now. He said, like children, because this is the point that he wants to make. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents, mostly what God does is love you. Man, that's awesome. Mostly what God does is love you. He's making a point. So he says, keep company with him and learn a life of love. So you got to tie it to watch what God does and then you do it. Mostly what God does is love you. He says, now mimic that. Imitate that. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Just like kids take on the characteristics and behavior of their parents, right? They pay no attention to do what I say. They always what? Do what we do. And so it is, as we keep company with God, we do what he does. He says, observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us. Wow. But to give everything of himself to us, and then Peterson finishes it off with love like that. Pretty cool. Pretty cool indeed. And then I'd like to read it from the NIV, which helps us to capture a couple other things here that I want to draw your attention to this morning. Okay, you with me? Everybody's up? Where's my coffee? Oh, my coffee's over there. Let me get it. I don't want to waste it. This was Starbucks French press coffee I made this morning. I'm not going to let it go to waste. All right, there we go. So, listen to the way the NIV puts it. He says, be imitators of God. Imitators of God. Therefore, as dearly loved children and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Now, just notice a couple things with me, okay? The first is, he says, be imitators of God. The word is mimic. It's really a transliteration in the original language. It's the word in the Greek is mimic. You know, mimic God is what he's saying, or imitate God. And then he says, therefore. Now, he's calling our attention to love here, mimic God, the way God loves, the way that God loves you, love other people. And he puts in there, therefore. Now, whenever you see a therefore in the Bible or whatever you're reading, see what it's there for. And what it's there for is to draw it's drawing attention to something that he just said. And what he just said was, be kind, the verse 32, be kind and compassionate to one another. You see it there? Be kind and compassionate to one another. A big word next, forgiving each other. That's big, right? Forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And then he says, be imitators of God, therefore. Because God is kind to us, God is compassionate to us, and he has forgiven us. He says, therefore, be like God in the way in which he loved you, love other people. Now, that's a big bill to fill sometimes because there are just some people that are really hard to take, aren't they? We'll talk about it as we go on in the weeks to come. But nevertheless, here we go this morning. Now, doing I love you means more than saying I love you, right? It's easy to say, and I think it's necessary to say, don't get me wrong, I think it's necessary to say, I love you. Those that we love, those who are close to us, absolutely, to tell them. But more important than saying I love you is doing I love you. And I like to compare it to lightning and the lightning bug. You know, saying I love you is like the lightning bug. Oh, look at, let's, you know, fireflies, you ever catch them at night, right? Oh, how cool that is. But doing I love you is like lightning. And the impact is a little bit different, isn't it? Between lightning and the lightning bug. And doing I love you is compared to that. And boy, we have to get that down. And so he says here in chapter 5, he says, live a life of love. Now, again, I think the King James says it a little bit more accurately in capturing the original language. He says, walk in love. Walk in love. And the whole idea here is the love that he's using, as you read the Bible, love is translated love, and in our English language, love is love is love is love. But in the language of the Bible, there are different words for love. We even have them in English. We'll say brotherly love. And what city do we know is a city of brotherly love? Philadelphia. Because it comes from the Greek word that means brotherly love, Philadelphia. To love your brother. And we have that kind of thing, brotherly love. But the word that's used here when it says walk in love or live a life of love is, you've all heard it, what's the word? Agape. Agape, right? Agape. We say agape. It's agape, right? And this kind of love is a very special kind of love. And he says walk in that. Walk. Now, walk is a metaphor for, as the NIV and other translations have put it, to live your life in love. See, it's a metaphor. Walk is a metaphor for behave. You know, the steps that you take, the way in which you live your life, how it is that you live your life, how it is that you behave. He says behave in agape type of love. And agape is a kind of love that takes you out of the picture. It's a kind of love that it's not about you, but it's all about the other person. That's agape love. Agape love is the way in which we are able to love someone else with, even as he intimates in this passage, or Peterson puts it, with, as we say, no strings attached. It's like I'm willing to invest myself, you know, my love, my feelings, my sacrifice for you, if as long as I can. It's like I'm going to take my wife shopping and I'm going to buy her something, but in the back of my mind, I have, you know, the particular store I want to take her to, because hopefully she'll find something there, because I already have my heart set on something. Buy something for her, something for Bob. And
Sandra.
And that's the bad thing about having the preacher give and tell on yourself a lot. And but the thing is that, no, it's that where you take yourself out of the picture completely. And it's doing something, it's doing I love you for someone else, and nothing's going to come back to you. Nothing. Nothing. Where you don't do it for something to come back to you. Not even an honorable mention. Don't I even get an honorable mention in this? You know, it's like, no, it's like you don't even exist. You've done this thing. And agape is where you don't even come into play. You've done it, and it's done. You're not there anymore. Because it's not for you, it's for them. Wow. That's the kind of love that is met here in this passage of Scripture. Now, we got a number of Scripture passages to look at, and you know my famous saying that the Bible's well capable of preaching to us all by itself. And so let's let it preach to us. So we need to look at a couple of other Scripture verses as I take you on this journey of walking in love. So stay in pace with me, okay, this morning, and we'll probably unfold this in a couple of weeks' time, of this whole idea of how it is that we walk in love, how it is that we behave towards each other in a kind of love that gets away from after me, you come first. Gets away from that. But it really is where, no, you really do come before me and come first, and where I can love you and love others in that sort of way, even as he tells us here. To be kind, to be compassionate, to be forgiven, be forgiving. And he says, imitate God. It's the way he loved you. And to be able to live a life of love, you know, not just do loving things once in a while, but this whole idea of walk in love is that it's my lifestyle. It's my lifestyle. It's the attitude. It's the demeanor of my life. And he says that just as Christ loved us, and so he says in the same way that Jesus, you know, the Scripture says, when we were enemies, Christ died for us. When we were enemies, he died for us. And the sacrifice that Jesus made with no strings attached, in the way in which we see that he loved us and he loves us to the very end, that offering, that sacrifice of his life, he says, you be like that with one another. Wow, that's pretty heavy duty. And so we want to look at this. We need to read a couple of scriptures as we go along. So have your Bible or your device ready or your ears open to hear, okay? Now, imitating God in this way, in the way in which he loves, to mimic that, the first thing I want you to see is that it becomes the best kind of advertisement for the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the kind of people that God has made us as Christians. There's no better advertisement. The first verse I want to draw your attention to is John 13 and verse 35. And in John 13, 35, Jesus says, I'm going to give you a new commandment. And that new commandment is that you love one another as I love you. And then he says these words. He says, other people are going to take notice that you are a Christian. How? In that you go to church. In that you can quote the Bible verses, in that all the political things in our society that are anti-God, anti-Christian, you're there with your picket sign and the big cross around your neck, down with everybody, right? Well, they're going to know that right there is a what? Christian. And Jesus says, he says, no, you know I'm being facetious. Jesus says, they're going to know that you're Christians. How? In that you, who knows, love one another. That you love one another. That's what he says. In that you obey this command that I'm given to you to love each other as I have loved you. Wow. So that's the first thing. The other thing that I want you to see is this, and that is the other John 3:16. Now, when I say John 3:16, most of us know it. We memorized it when we were little, and we've seen it in all kinds of places, including where? Football stadiums, where somebody's holding up John 3:16. We've seen that, right? As the camera pans the crowd, John 3:16. And so we all, if we don't know it, we've all heard John 3:16. But here's a John 3:16 that I want to draw your attention to right now that maybe you don't know as readily as you do, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Here's the other John. It's 1 John 3:16. And it follows in suit with what we're talking about, what we want to talk about this morning, which is walk in what? Walk in what? Take a sip of coffee, somebody, and come on, stay with me now. Walk in love. Watch. John, the other John 3:16, 1 John 3:16, he says, this is how we know what love is. How do we know what love is? Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. So when we point to the cross, when we think about salvation, it isn't just a matter of a religious thing that we point to and say, oh yeah, how nice that is. You know, it's a tenet of our faith, we believe it. But what we are looking at is love. As I don't know if it's a song, Sandra, you can help me, but it's not that, you know, the song goes, I think it goes, where the nails that pierced him and put him on the cross were not what held Jesus to the cross. Isn't there a song, something like that? There is. She's shaking her head. Thank you. But what held Jesus to the cross was his love for you and me. Wasn't the nails. It was his love. He laid down. This is how we know what love is. But that's not John. John isn't drawing our attention to get into Christ's salvation and redemption here. He goes on to say, and we ought to lay, I love this, the twist, how he takes this immediately. And he says, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and our sisters. And this is how you're going to know that this is where love really is at. And then he even becomes more specific about this. See, this is the other thing about love. You know, I love you, I love you, I love you, but then we treat each other like, you know, like we hate each other. I love you, I love you, I love you. Hey, did you hear about, you know, I love you, I love you, I love you, but sorry, you know, I can't take living with you anymore, and I think we need a divorce. But I love you. And boy, you talk about mixed up, right, about love. We are mixed up. That's why we got to come back here. Come back here. And he says, and he narrows it down. He focuses our attention. Now, he says, focus, focus. He says, oh, this is how you lay down your life for somebody else. Right here. He says, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, he says, don't love with words or with your mouth only, but with what? Actions and in truth. Be sincere about it. In truth. When you say I love you, what? Help somebody out if you got the means to help them. It's simple, isn't it? Okay, so that's the other John 3:16. 1 John 3:16. And we all know this, and we've heard this, and from this passage of Scripture right here, we can pull out from it that love is an action word. Now, we know that. Love is an action word. It is changing the whole attitude that we have towards love from saying I love you to doing I love you. And that's what it means to walk in love. It's action. It's an action word. It always puts its money, what? Where its mouth is. See? If you say, I love you, and someone, someone who is a part of us, someone who is in desperate need, has a desperate need, and you can meet it, you know, it's like, well, you know what, God, let me pray for you. Oh, God, help this person. You know, they have this tremendous need. Off they go, and it's in your ability, my ability, to help them, and we let them go. He says, there's something that stinks about that kind of love. Right? And we know these kinds of things, and we this morning I want us to be reminded of them. That love is an action word, that love always puts its money where its mouth is. Always. Now, there is nothing more influential for us in our lives than the influence of examples. Examples. Somebody who presents themselves to us as an example for a particular lifestyle, particular characteristic, and we investigate and their lives are put up before us, and wow, how it touches us, how it moves us. And so I want to look at some the influence of some examples. Begin this morning, see how far we get. And the first thing to say is that with these examples that I'm going to give you, each one of them can clearly be demonstrated in the life of Jesus. Each one of them can be. And that's important to keep in mind. And I'm going to, however, use some examples that we might know or say it in a way to help us to look at these things and really hear them this morning. Just to give us a couple of examples, the examples have to do with what it looks like to walk in love. Did I just lose myself? No, I'm still on. Good.
Because it won't be the first time.
So, you know, what does it look like to walk in love? What are we talking about? Some specifics. And so I have, let me count them up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I have 5 examples of what it looks like to walk in love. And we're going to see how far we get this morning. And we'll try to do it in a few minutes and be out of here to continue to enjoy this beautiful day. I'm happy I have a picnic to go to after church, so nice. I can only hope that it's something other than hot dogs and hamburgers, but I don't know. But anyways, before we get there, just a couple of examples. Let me list the 5 things for you that I want to cover by way of the examples, okay? Here's the first one, all right? The example of suffering for someone else. Walking in love means that we suffer for someone else. Okay? So there's that example. Then there's the example of praying for someone else. Okay? That we walk in love towards someone when we pray for them. Okay? And then there's this one. There is the one of be there. The be there example. Right? The be there for someone else. Boy, so much walking in love is just being there for someone else. You know? Have you ever had that experience yourself? You know, I have. There have been times where I've been sick and, you know, been visited by some people and just to be there. Other times, you know, things that I've had to do or go and just be there. They're just there for me. And that's the beauty, most of the time, of married life. Anyways, be there, right? You can be there for the other person. Then here's one, the fourth one. And it starts to get a little bit nitty-gritty now, okay? That we inconvenience ourselves for someone else. And so that's walking in love. And then the last one that we'll look at is that sometimes it means walking in love means that I have to stand up to someone else in loving them. You know, it means that. And so we want to look at these things today, tomorrow. We'll see how, or today, next Sunday, we'll see how far we get. Are you with me? Those 5 things give to us some examples that I want to just consider quietly before the Lord of what it means to do I love you. To do I love you. and to obey Jesus' command to see these things at work in our lives. We'll read a couple of more scriptures as we go along here as we talk about the first one, and that is where I'm going to demonstrate that I love you. I'm going to show that I love you in that I become a part of the suffering that you're going through. That, in fact, I'm going to suffer for you. Now, I got a lot of things to say about this one that it might take us the rest of our time. We'll see. But did you ever think about it? Now, I mean, just think about Jesus' love for us. For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. And so we see the suffering. We know the suffering of Jesus. And there is suffering in loving other people, is there not? We just know that there is. And so that's kind of the idea that I want to look at here. And this is the first thing that I want to say. This is taken from Ephesians chapter 5, that we act most like God. Now, notice what he says. He says, imitate God. Be like God. Mimic God. Now, so here it is. We act most like God. You act most like God. You will be obeying that scripture most when you forgive someone else. When you forgive. We act most like God when we forgive other people. Now, that's a tough deal. Now, let me say a couple of things about that. Here's the first one. You ready? Forgiveness isn't justifying the bad behavior of the other person. It's not justifying the ill will or the sin against you that has been done. It's not justifying it. See, you're not, when you forgive, when I forgive someone, I am not absolving them in that sense, erasing the bad thing that they did, nor their culpability, see? The consequences. See, I am not taking away, I am forgiving the other person, and I'm leaving the consequences to God to deal with them for the bad thing or bad things that they did. I'm taking my hands off of the consequences as much as I want to send them a letter bomb, right, and other kinds of bombs. I refrain, I forgive, with the idea that God is going to deal with those consequences. That's none of my business. Wow. Now, there's suffering that goes into that. You die 1,000 deaths when you forgive someone else. There's suffering that goes into the forgiveness that you give to other people. And if you have ever had to forgive someone of something they have done to you, or if you're wrestling with it right now, you're wrestling with it because it's painful. And it's painful. And it may mean sacrifice. It hurts. It hurts us in our heart. It brings us to a place of immense suffering. And we die 1,000 deaths in forgiving something. So walking in love is being willing to suffer through forgiveness that I give to someone else. And when we do that, we are imitating God, who in Christ forgave us. And that's always helpful to keep in mind. What's helpful to keep in mind is God has forgiven me of the inexcusable things that I have done. How can I not forgive other people of the inexcusable things they have done? Wow. Let me turn a corner here now and talk about it from another angle, this whole idea of suffering for someone. Timothy Keller says this in his book on suffering. He says, the more you love someone, the more that person's grief and pain becomes yours. You know, let's just take, for instance, the trauma that we see, let's say in Nepal. And we hear and we see the news and our hearts go out to the families there, and we may even, our hearts may even go out to such an extent that, you know, we're willing to donate, to become involved in one of the groups. You know, there's compassion going out to those folks, and we give. What if you had a brother or a sister that had suffered through the trauma there, and you're here? You think you'd feel a little bit differently about the suffering and grief and pain and trauma that was going on there? Don't you think you would? And the closer we are, the more you love someone. You know, love hurts, doesn't it? Love hurts. It just hurts. And grief is a love word. See, grief is a love word. And we feel grieving. When we lose a loved one, there's what? Grieving that we do is because we love. And we have to see that this whole thing of loving one another, that man, I'm growing in love. And when you hurt, I hurt. Why? Because I love you. And that's just there. So this whole idea of love, and I want to draw your attention to another passage of Scripture from Galatians chapter 5, and this whole idea of the more we love someone, the more we feel their pain and suffering, the more we want to engage and participate in that pain and suffering with them. And he says in Galatians chapter 1, or Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, he says, carry each other's burdens. Carry each other's burdens. Bear the load. Share the load. Get under the load what someone else is going through. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. And the law of Christ that he's getting at here is what Jesus said, love one another. And so we see that, you know, have you ever been guilty of someone goes through something and you see what they're going through and you say, well, I wonder what they did to deserve that, right? We have this attitude sometimes, they made their bed, they got to lie in it now, right? You know, we just kind of pass it off. And then there are times where, to engage in someone else's suffering, we want to be careful because, I got enough suffering of my own. Or my life is going really good right now. And I'm happy. And you're making me miserable here. Who wants to hang with you right now? See ya. And there's this whole something that we bring ourselves not only up, we only bring ourselves short up on something, but that we miss out on in our lives of being able to really engage in loving someone else and helping them to carry what they're going through, to help them bear up under the load. There's something so fulfilling, even as he says, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so what? Fulfill the law. And so fulfill the law of Christ. There's something that brings fulfillment to our lives, like no other search for meaning can bring to my life when I engage in this kind of thing. Love is a very satisfying thing, is it not? No. And to have love without suffering for someone else is not to have love. It's not to have love. To have love is to suffer for someone else. Just try loving, that other song is, I'll Never Love Again. Who sang that? I don't know who sang that one. And I'll never, isn't there a song like that? Yeah, got that on. Is it in the same song? I don't know. Trini Lopez. No. Lemon Tree. You guys, are you slow this morning? Everybody just not there this morning. I got hurt, so I'll never love again. Well, it's not only join the club, baby, but you're not going to love without what? Getting hurt, it's painful. You know? And this whole idea of suffering for. And what it does is that, as he says, care, help someone else carry their load. Listen, when you forgive someone, you are releasing. See, we got to get away from this idea sometimes of thinking, well, in forgiving someone, I'm freeing myself. You are. You are freeing yourself from bitterness. You're freeing yourself from this, you know, from this, you know, unforgiving spirit that just wreaks havoc within your own life. But listen, you're also freeing that other person that you're forgiving. You're freeing them. You're doing something. See, there's no strings attached here in forgiveness. You're freeing them. Maybe you're freeing them for God to do something in their lives that, wow, they say, well, you mean to say that there's no animosity? There's no trying to get evil in me? Wow, what is that? And they're forced to look at the kind of love that God has for them through my life. Wow. Suffer for. Let me do the next one, and we'll save the next three for next week. God helping, God willing. Let me just do the next one, and that is pray for. All right, pray for. Now, this whole thing of pray for and loving, really, I'm going to really try and deepen it a little bit. You know, someone says, hey, please pray for me. You say, oh, yeah, okay. And then you forget. You ever been there? Done that? You know, then you forget. Or someone says, hey, pray for me. And it's like, okay, God, you know, bless them, God. Help them, God. And off you go. And it's like, ooh. And we gotta stop here a minute to see, once again, you know, how, you know, so your mother is in Nepal. How would you be praying for her right now? Changes it a little bit, right? And so love draws out of us, brings out of us as we pray for. Now, I want to deepen it a little bit here, and I want to deepen it by looking at Colossians. And then we'll just go with this example here, and we'll call it quits. But from Colossians, not collision. It's not collision. It's Colossians. And it's Colossians chapter 4, and it's this guy by the name of Epaphras. And I want you to see something about Epaphras and the way in which he loved his community. Okay, Epaphras, the way he loved his community. And attention is drawn to him for loving his community in the way in which he prayed for them. Yeah, simply by praying. Now, some of us don't think that prayer is work. Some of us don't think that prayer is hard work. You know? Well, here's a little test for you, all right? How much do you pray? And that'll tell you right there that prayer is work. You know, prayer is work. Prayer oftentimes is a sacrifice. You know, oftentimes praying for someone else is a sacrifice of love. And here's a guy who is demonstrating that. And that's what I'm saying to you. To walk in love is a demonstration of our love for someone else when we pray for them. In this Epaphras, it says, he's given a testimony about this guy. And he says, Epaphras, so he says, let me tell you about him. He says, he's from your neighborhood. He's one of you. He's from your neighborhood. And he calls him a servant of Jesus Christ. And he says, he sends you his greetings. He's saying hello. And then he says this. He says he is always wrestling or working hard for you in prayer. Yeah, in prayer. He says, then he lists three things that he's praying for them. He says that you may stand firm in all the will of God, that you may grow up, and that you might have a confidence about you in life. Now, those are big things. Those are, just take the confidence. I mean, has life ever happened to you in such a bad way that it has sucked the confidence out of you? and that you'd be prayed for, that in your life, that you would have a confidence going through life. That's what he says. And then he says, in verse 13, he says, oh, I got a little bit more to say to round out what I just said, to fill out a little bit more. He says, I vouch for him that he is working hard for you, working hard for you and for others, Laodicea. And so the point is that I'm making is that this guy, Epaphras, is putting in the time of hard work. He says it's hard work this guy is engaged in by praying for you. Now, he doesn't even use the word love here in this, but doing I love you is bigger than saying I love you. He's doing I love you by giving himself sacrificially to say, listen, I'm praying for you. And this is what I'm praying for. And this is not puppy chow stuff that he's praying, that he's engaging in. And he's saying he's working hard at this praying for you stuff, this praying for you business. And by doing this, he's showing, he's demonstrating some pretty cool love for you. And I want to say to you that when you pray for your wife, when you pray for your kids, when you pray for, you know, situations and people that you know, you're loving them. When you stick with it in prayer for them. And, you know, how many testimonies have you heard? A mother's love, right? A mother's love for their child. We spoke about that last week, didn't we? In our Mother's Day message, you know? Oh, don't get between a mom and her bear cubs. Just don't do it. And there's nothing more fierce than a mother showing her love in the way in which she prays for her kids. Nothing more fierce. Nothing. You talk about a mother loving her son, a mother loving her daughter. You talk about husbands who pray for their wives. Pray for them. You know? Oh, honey, I love you. Well, you know, have you prayed for me? Well, I love you. And we pray and we engage in what they're going through and what they're feeling. We say, God, I'm taking this up on behalf of my wife. And I pray for her. You know, and I feel what she's going through and what she's, you know, going through and in the trauma of her life and the things that she's facing. And I take that up in prayer for her. You know. God help her. My wife was going through the change. I said to Sandra, you're going to get over this, and you're going to get over this in the next 30 seconds. Amen. No, that's from Archie Bunker. If some of you saw that one. No, not at all. But boy, we pray. Wives who pray for their husbands. Really pray for them and engage. You know, honey, I love you. Pray for me. Pray for me. Work hard in prayer. And there's just something about that. You know? And I'll tell you something about that. When you start getting more, you know, deeper than bless them, help them. You know, it's like when our kids used to pray when they were little. You know, I can still hear it now. You know, God, what did it say? God bless Marcia, Lisa, and Paul. I forget how you used to pray, Melody, but it was like that. You know, 15 seconds before they went to bed, you know, it was done. And it's got to be more than that, but I'll tell you what happens. When you start engaging in that kind of praying for your loved ones, and for other people, you begin to feel love for them and understanding perhaps that much more of where they're at, what they're dealing with. You know? So it doesn't just become a simple, well, get over it. Get over it. Let's stand together and pray. Walk in love. Walk in love. We got a long way to go as we continue to talk about this, but I trust that you got a few things together this morning on this whole walking in love business. Doing I love you is like lightning. Saying I love you, as fun as it is, let's go catch some lightning bugs. We'll put them in a jar. We'll put some grass in there. Oh, look at how they blink. Look at the blinking that's going on. Wonderful. You say I love you. It's like that. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I want to thank you. We're here together in the house of God. And Lord, you know my own heart and that this is coming from not someone who's got it all together about how to walk in love. But Lord, I, along with each person here, is working on it. And I pray that you'd grant us your spirit to obey the command of Jesus to love one another. And I pray in Christ's name, amen. Hey, listen, don't rush right out, okay?